How many believes that tonight? Amen. Are you glad to be here? Is there somebody, some other place you'd rather be? Nope, I can't think of one. This is the best place to be. It's where the Lord wants you to be. Amen? Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. Well, we sure are enjoying these meetings. Enjoying this time that's been set aside to just let the Lord have His way, to let the Lord speak to us, minister to us, to make love to Him, express our appreciation, be corrected. I'm so thankful for His corrective love. You know, we sometimes people will only focus on the corrective part and maybe get hung up over that. But there's two parts. There's the correction and the repentance. And then there's the grace for Him to say, don't worry about it. It's gone. Nothing between you and me. Isn't that wonderful? Praise His wonderful name. Blessed be His name. So last night, our brother Freddie Hatfield tore it up. And we certainly appreciate his labor of love last night. And been a while since we've seen one another. But, you know, the thing about a true friend and a true brother is it doesn't matter how long you're separated. You know, there are some people you get around and you got to kind of warm up. They got to, you know, you got to kind of get them convinced that they can trust you again. And then you'll have a little bit of fellowship. Then you won't see them for a while. And then you got to kind of warm up again the next time you see them. But a real true friend and brother, you know, it's just, you just pick up where you left off. And, right? Amen. You don't have to say a lot of words. Right? It's because you have the same spirit. And you're part of the same family. You have the same father. Serve the same God. So, Brother Freddie brought a message, a genuine article, very, very timely. We, in this hour of impersonation, in fact, it's part of our culture to try to emulate other people, to try to impersonate sports stars, movie stars, this one or that one. It's not even, it's not looked upon as a bad thing to try to be like somebody else. And you think, well, what's wrong with that? Well, you're trying to be somebody else instead of being what you are, right? It's like we've said before, why would you want to be a second-rate Elvis Presley, right? When you can be a first-rate whoever it is that you are. God made you to be who you are. Amen. And we want to be who we are in the Lord, and that's the best place to be. Amen. Whatever it might be, God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make junk. So whatever He made you to be, that's the best place for you to be. So we certainly do appreciate the labor of love last night. Just tied right in with the other messages that, coming forth, because we know it'll be a genuine article that goes in the rapture. Anything else that's trying to be will stay here, right? Hallelujah. I'm thankful tonight that it's still possible for God to manifest a genuine article here on the earth to quicken you and allow that word that's down on the inside of you to come to life and to, you know, we're not trying to be the message. We're not trying to live the message. The message came across our path to show us who we are. Amen? We're trying to get to the place where we're manifesting what the message has already declared. Amen. Amen. So thank you, Brother Freddie and Sister Esther for singing last night. Man, she can sing, huh? Thank you, both of you. Appreciate it. And I know you've got a minister in the morning, so it means a lot to us that you stuck around for the evening service. And I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Of course, you know that already. You know, wherever he's at, we always have a good time, right? Doesn't matter who is bringing the word. Just, you know, we're together in one mind and one accord and in great expectation. So tonight, it's my privilege to have our brother Brian from Johannesburg, South Africa. So I think you said last night that some of us probably drove a great distance. I think he holds the record, right? In fact, let's see, it was summer when you left, and it's winter. So, I mean, can't make much more of a change, right? He's south of the equator, we're north. So he's had his jacket handy and unseasonable cool weather tonight. Today it was nice. Appreciate that. But anyway, we met our precious brother about 4 years ago. Some brother David Gonzalez had us out for his fifth year annual meetings, and they showed up and pulling on the word. We just had a wonderful time together love at first sight, you know. And our brother treated Sister Baker and I and some others, took us to a restaurant called the Carnivore. And you'll never guess what they feed you there. No, it wasn't tofu. Or I think we had about a taste of about every kind of meat that you could taste. And, oh, it's just a real treat. Just had a wonderful time. Anyway, we've been wanting to have our brother out ever since. And then we had the fire in the church, and then we had COVID, and now we're getting back to normal. God's working on both sides. The Lord put it on his heart to travel, put it on my heart to invite him, and so here we are. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord? Well, let's just invite his presence, and we'll turn the service over to our brother and just invite him to take his liberty. He counts the stars. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Amen. I'm counting on that. Tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Don't have all the answers to the questions. Oh my, but I know.
Before your throne of mercy and of grace this evening, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are present here tonight. Lord, we know it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And Father, we are so grateful, Lord Jesus, to be gathered, Lord Jesus, under the authority of the Holy Ghost. And Father, Lord, we just pray tonight, Father, that your will be done. Father, hide me behind the cross, and may not I be seen, but may Christ be seen here tonight. Father, bless the ministry here. Father, bless the laity. And Father, may we say like those of Emmaus, in our hearts, burn within us while he yet spake with us, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for grace that is sufficient to us, Father. We have no other word for grace but amazing. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you are, Lord, your presence is so evident here tonight. I just pray, Lord God, that you would have full preeminence tonight. And we will be careful, Lord, to give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. Don't you want to shake somebody by the hand and say, God bless you? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love you, Lord. What key is that? For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, of the goodness of God. Everybody together, all my life, sing. All my life, everything. All my life, everything. So, so good. Every breath that I make, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. I love your voice. Testify all my life, hallelujah. All my life you have been faithful. All my life. So good, yes. Every breath I make, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to greet you all in the precious, wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know his life eternal. I hope my accent won't be too bad tonight. I'm British, so some of my words will be a bit different than yours. But I trust that even if my accent is different, you'll catch the revelation of the word tonight. I think that's more important. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to a portion of Scripture. I'm not much of an introduction person, but I bring greetings from our folks back home, my wife and my kids. She was supposed to be with me, Brother Doug, but she said, Brian, for some reason we misread the communication from our agent. And they gave us so many options to choose from which flight we could take. And some of the flights was 33 hours, 34 hours, a day and a half. So I just said, she said, I get motion sickness. I won't be able to make 33 hours. And when I chose the flight, found out it was just about 22. She said, I could have made 22 at least. 10, break up 10, and then another 10, or whatever the case might be. But I bring greetings from my family, and I was asked by Brother Harold Becker to send greetings to you as well. He sends all his love, and he says, wherever I go, I should just make mention that he greets you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Doug, we're certainly blessed to be here. And thank you for the lovely fellowship. I have come to know the divine fellowship here is, there's really love here. I love the simplicity. It's not a complicated group. I can see you love the Lord. Many places you go in, there's so many complications. You know, people are mysterious. So, but we are so grateful that you've made it really easy for me to be here, and I really appreciate the love and the grace. Amen. I want to invite you to a portion of scripture in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. I've been wrestling with this thought for a couple of days. Satan tried to get in my mind yesterday morning and today, telling me that I don't have the right thought. And I looked at all my other sermons, and I said, maybe I should run to something else. And something just said, you go back to what I said you must preach. So I said to Brother Doug, I prayed a couple of days, and I said, if the Lord will allow me to come, I'll come. I'm scheduled to come in June to the States again, but for some reason, I got my visa in time, and Brother Doug made his call in time, so I just led to come. And so I know that the Lord will work all things for good. Let me not keep you standing too long. First, Ezekiel chapter 1. I'm going to read from verses 15, and I'll have you take your seats. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verses 15. The Bible says, now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures, with his four faces, and the appearance of the wheels as their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance was their work as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. If you will allow me, I'd like to take a subject from verses 16, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Amen. Amen. You may take your seats. May the Lord add a blessing upon the reading of his word. I certainly appreciate Brother Freddy last night. Amen. And also our precious Brother Juan and Brother Dale also preaching a wonderful sermon. We certainly appreciate all the brothers. I'm just the least of the brethren, and I just want to be simple tonight, but be in the will of God. Ministers can say a lot of beautiful things, but I don't want to say beautiful things. We want to say something that is befitting, something that's in the will of God, and something that will bring about a change. Because we must know that our nature is wrong. We are born with the wrong nature. We must understand that we come to church to be helped. Amen. Because we've come with our back turned towards God. And so I want to speak a little bit on the wheel of the middle of the wheel and just look at a few things here tonight. Amen. There are many things that's not natural to us as human beings to accept. And so we grow up thinking about luck. And we think about chance, and we think about accidents, we think about misfortune, and we think about this, and we think about that, and we think about what should have happened and what didn't happen. And so if we have all this kind of thinking, that is not Bible language. Because he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the first and he's the last. God is not the God of the in-between, yet he knows what happens in between. But he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. Nothing catches God by surprise. Whatever happens on the earth doesn't catch him by surprise, because all things work together for good to them that loves the Lord. Can we say amen? So we need to understand all the promises of God in him is yea and amen. And it's unto the glory of God by us. That's what the scripture says. It's unto the glory of God by us. And we need to compare spiritual with spiritual and compare scripture with scripture. Amen. Compare Bible leaf with Bible leaf. For because we've not received, amen, the spirit of the world, but we received the spirit of God, that we might have things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in words of wisdom, men's wisdom, that men's wisdom teach it, but which the Holy Ghost teach it, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Can we say amen? Amen. So I want to read you a quote here and just show you my line of thought maybe for the next two services. In What Think You of Christ? Brother Menem says, let's ask Ezekiel, this great prophet. He says, come here, Ezekiel, come down out of your glory. What think ye of Christ? He says, and Ezekiel said, when I saw him, he was the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He says, standing way up in the middle of the air. In other words, the whole creation was revolved around that hub in the wheel. And that is what I want to speak about tonight. The whole creation revolving around that hub in the middle of the wheel. That means nothing happens by chance. Amen. Nothing happens by accident. By you being here tonight is not by chance. Me being here tonight is not by chance. God ordained you for such a time as this. Amen. And God will never call you to lose you. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll either call you back to church or he'll call you back to glory, but God will never lose you because he ordained you, amen, by his perfect will. Just forgive me if I get a little excited. It might sound like I'm shouting, but I'm not shouting. I'm just getting excited because that word predestination means more to us in this hour than it had ever been, because God has predestinated us for such a time as this. So Brother Bim says the whole creation revolved around this hub. Every spoke, every rim, everything else depended on the hub in the wheel. That means nothing happens out of cater. If we look at the Genesis 1 account, it looked like a bad thing. Amen. But God showed his providence. God shows that he is in charge. That even if things spins out of orbit, that even if it has a chaotic state, that God is in charge all the time. And the Bible teaches me that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the waters. Amen. God was going to bring, amen, a Garden of Eden up. Out of that chaotic state, God was going to bring an Eden again. So it doesn't matter what chaotic state we are in tonight. It doesn't matter what we find ourselves in. I believe God is an on-time God. He's allowing everything to go according to his time, according to his purpose, and according to its season. Can we say amen tonight? We speak about God's providence. God is sovereign. Brother Bam says the devil is not sovereign. Right now as we speak, there's a court case going on. There's an application made about you. Somebody filed a complaint against you. So that means that the devil is not sovereign and is not in charge. He needs to ask permission before he even comes close to you, because God has got you protected by the hub. Can we say amen? Everything is in cater. Nothing is out of control. You say, Brother Brian, but I lost my job. Even that is in cater. You say, Brother Brian, I don't know where my next meal is coming from. Amen. Even that is in God's control. Hallelujah. I might have lost this and I've lost that. Brother Benham says, we lose nothing. He says, a Christian loses nothing. He says, when we get on the other side, he says, we'll get everything on the other side. Can we say amen? So let me just speak a little bit about this wheel in the middle of the wheel and just build up my case here. If you will allow me to do that, I'm just trying to find my feet. We have Ezekiel here looking at the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He says there's cherubims right on top that stands in heaven, and the wheels are underneath on the earth. So the wheels are not in heaven. The wheel is on the earth. And the wheel is turning on the earth. And the Bible says that the wheels are moving forward. That means the wheel is going to accomplish something. Amen. There's movement. There's a going forward. Nothing is backsliding, because God cannot backtrack. God cannot go backwards. God cannot fall back on his words. That means whatever God said, it will accomplish the purpose that it's intended for. Can we say amen? Brother Benham one day was shooting the squirrels and he asked for 3 squirrels. But he was happy with the 2 squirrels. And the Lord said, how many squirrels did you ask for?
He said, three squirrels. He says, how many squirrels is in your hand? He said, I only got two. He said, but I'm going to give you the third squirrel. Because my word cannot return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. Can we say amen tonight? Hallelujah. So here's the wheel on the earth. It's moving. It's gaining momentum. It's going in a direction. It might look like it's not going there. It looks like we're going to maybe be here for the next 100 years. But it's not the case, brother. You say people are falling off the wagon. It has to be so. There's a saying that says, when you are on the ship is going to a destination. The people on the ship can move wherever they want to. They can even jump overboard. But the ship is going to a destination. Some is leaving the message of the hour. Some is leaving, they're jumping off. Some is committing spiritual, amen, suicide. But the ship is going to a destination. Hallelujah. There's nothing that can stop this message. There's nothing that can stop the revival. There's nothing that can stop a believer. You know why? You come from God and you are going back to God again. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. So the wheel is symbolic. The whole vision of Ezekiel is actually symbolic. Amen. But it has meaning. And we can go into these things and we can try and teach a little bit on those things. But I'm not here to teach. But just to show you that Ezekiel was breaking. Ezekiel was a prophet in Babylon. And the prophet of Babylon, he now, God pulls the curtain back so that he can look into the curtain, beyond the curtain, and see what's going to happen. Hallelujah. And God was showing him things that was going to happen. And Ezekiel says, I was caught up in the heavenlies. He said, and I could see for 7 days what was going to happen. Brother Benham says in the leadership message, 7 days represents seven church ages. Here's a prophet in Babylon that was lifted up and he could see what was going to happen for seven church ages. He could place everything positionally. Can we say amen? So whatever God was going to achieve, he had a purpose. This cherubim speaks about God's own life, God's divine order, God's own counsel. But God was going to achieve it on the earth. The wheel is going to turn on earth. Brother Ben says these four living creatures is the life of God. It's God's own life. Amen. Hallelujah. They understand the purpose of God. They know the mysteries of God. It's symbolic, but yet it's God. Amen. In that cherub coming into a certain age, because there's a certain word allotted for a certain age. And that word needs quickening. Hallelujah. That is why God honors all his appointments. Let me just stop there. I feel led to just stop there for a minute. It's not on my notes. But there was a woman in the Bible. Amen. The Pharisees invited the Lord Jesus to a feast. And while he honored their invitation, he wasn't really going there for them. It was just the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when he got to the function, when he got to this feast, amen, Brother Benham says the most pathetic scripture that you could find is where Jesus sits at the table, hallelujah, unentertained. Hallelujah, sitting with dirty feet. Amen, and invited him, the church invited him. Oh, let that not be us tonight. If we invite him, let's entertain him. Hallelujah. Let's get everything that we're supposed to get out of him. I believe in the word is divine healing. In the word is salvation. In the word is redemption. In the word is everything that you can call upon. Is in the word of the Almighty God. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. So this woman, she walked past and hallelujah. And when she walked past, she saw Jesus sitting. Amen. It was word coming to word. It was the wheel turning in the middle of the wheel. Hallelujah. It was attribute coming to attribute. It was God coming back to God. And she once was Lord, but a wheel was going to bring her right back into his presence. Are you hearing me tonight? It is a wheel in the middle of the wheel. And she came by and she looked at him. And brother and sister, the prophet of God says, the only decent thing that woman had was her hair. He says, there was nothing decent on her, only her hair. And she came in and she just fell at his feet and she started washing his feet with her tears and so forth. And she dried them with her hair. And when she was done and he was done, he said, woman, thou art forgiven. But listen, Brother Branham says, all that she had need of was in the word. The word needs anointing tonight. You can't leave the word just like that tonight. The word needs somebody to anoint the word. Now, friends, we've made a mistake, and where I feel we need to learn from that is you cannot go to Brother Branham's scripture. You can't go to Brother Branham's portion of the word. He is Luke 17:30. He is Revelations, amen, 10:7. That's his scripture. But you've got to go to your scripture. Is that right? You've got to go to your part of the word and anoint your faith with your portion of the word. Friends, the prophet of God says there's unlimited resources. He says there's untapped resources. He says it's waiting for that church to tap into it. Oh, I wish, brother and sister, we can release so much out of the word. The problem is we leave it for Brother Branham's day. Oh, it only happened then, and it only happened in his time. And no, friend, the God of Elijah is not dead. When Elisha got to the River Jordan, he never asked for Elijah to come back. He asked for the God of Elijah. And I believe tonight we need to ask for the God of it. That the only return ministry is the Lord himself. Hallelujah. We're not looking for Elijah to come back. We want the God of Elijah. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. We need to anoint our faith with your portion of the word. If we look at all the shadows and the types in the Bible, you can go to that portion. It says, Lord, the way you acted then, you've got to act the same way. You've got to do it every time. You've got to do it the last time. Hallelujah. And God is obligated to his words. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not slack concerning his promises. So let's look at this wheel in the middle of the wheel just for a few minutes. Remember, it's symbolic. But that wheel is moving on the earth. That will is God himself. This is a counsel of God. This is the will of God. This is God fulfilling his own will. Now Job went through a lot of things. And Job said, if I knew where God was, I'd go knock on his door. And I'd ask God, why did you do this? Why did you let my daughters die? Why did my son have to die? Why my business? And now even my wife said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? Sounds like some sisters that wants to move on. She said, why don't you curse God and die so that I can move on and find another brother that's rich in the message? Oh, yeah, you hear the laugh, brother Doug? The sisters are laughing. Something is wrong. Why don't you curse God and die? He said, you speak like a denominational woman. Is that right? You speak like a denominational woman. You speak like a foolish woman. Amen. If you knew the wheel in the middle of the wheel, you wouldn't be speaking like that. If you knew that God already ordained for everything, God is not surprised. God wasn't surprised by what Job was going through. God is not surprised by what we are going through. Amen. He's got it all in control. I place my life in his hands. Can we say amen? When God wants something done, brother and sister, it might be a mystery to us. But in heaven, it's not a mystery. In heaven, there's no mysteries. By the way, in heaven, they know who's coming. Oh, yeah. Samuel. He knew who was coming to heaven. He even knew that his sons, Saul and his sons, would come the next day. Brother Branham went on the other side. And the people on the other side, oh, precious, we waited for you, precious brother. So they know who's coming. The rich man, when he died, he even knew that his five brothers was coming. Think about it, brother. He said, send somebody to my five brothers so that they don't come on this side. He even even know he knew that his five brothers would come on that side. And then the Lord said, but listen here, they have Moses and the prophets. So when you cross over, you know your destiny. Brother Bam says the conscience that you've been pressing down all your life will start coming right up again. Is that right? So we're speaking about the wheel in the middle of the wheel. I don't want to go into the cherubim so much, but I just want to show you the wheel in the middle of the wheel has got everything under control. Let me bring another quote up. Brother Benham speaks about the famous watch. You all know that quote very well, but let me speak about it in impersonation of Christianity. He says, it's just like the mainspring of a famous watch. He says, it's self-winding. He says, and you don't have to wind it every day. You don't have to wind it every day. Now, let me just give you a little testimony. 2 weeks ago, when I preached this sermon back home, a brother stepped into my office, and he gave me a watch just like that. And I was preaching on this, Brother Doug, and I even have the watch to give you the proof. It's a self-winding watch. You just wind it on once and for all. And that's what Brother Benham says. He says, God only wound it up once. That means God has no second thought coming. What he said the first time, it will stay like that all the time. That means there is no replacement for you tonight. Do you understand what I'm saying? God cannot look at you and say, you've made too many mistakes. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to get somebody else. There's no replacement. Whatever God wound up the first time, that's it. That settles it. My name was written in the blood section of the book. Hallelujah. And before there was a devil, there were you. That means before there was a problem, there was a solution. God only wound it up once. Brother Bam says, God has no second thought coming. He can't change his mind. He cannot, God cannot evolve. God cannot come up with a new idea. Whatever God thinks is perfect. Are you understanding what I'm saying tonight? Hallelujah. So when Samson made his mistake, there was no replacement for Samson. God was going to restore the virtue back to Samson again. Because Samson had a peculiar birth. Amen. God cannot give you the Holy Ghost today and take the Holy Ghost back tomorrow. Hallelujah. So don't let the devil ever tell you that you don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Once God gives you the Holy Ghost, you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Brother Bam says, God wound it up once and for all. He says, and it's set right in the middle of your life. It's set right in the middle of your life and of your new life. Look how he goes further. It's set right in the middle of your life and your new life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I know that when we came to the message, we thought that people were all angels. And you know, when we came to the message, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. I just give you a few years or few months in the message. He said, I thought these were angelic beings. These are all devils. Brother Bam says, God will turn the whole church against you. He set it up. That means even your trials, your hardships, hallelujah, whatever you are going to do, amen, it's not going to catch God by surprise. Hallelujah. It's like God made the devil, amen, for himself. It was to bring the best out of God. Without the devil, God couldn't express his attributes. So God had to get somebody, hallelujah, that could bring the best out of you. So God will bring a person in that will bring the best out of you. And guess what? It's not going to happen far. Your very family. Even family in church. I just want to touch on these things. I've got some other things that will line up as we go along, but I just want to show you. Brother Bam says it's wound up. That means you cannot unwind it again. There's energy in the mainspring. He says, as the mainspring, as it releases and ticks away the watch, it controls every little organism of that watch to perfect time. It ticks perfectly. It ticks perfectly. Brother Brian, but I don't know what's going to happen. It ticks perfectly. Brother Brian, but how? It ticks perfectly. Brother Brian, tomorrow it ticks. The scripture says, amen, we know who holds tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But now you are sons of God. Amen. We need to look at what God is doing right now. Brother Benham says, we always look at what God is going to do. We always see what he has done. But we fail to see what he's doing right now. Hallelujah. It's like when you look at the seals, Brother Doug. When you look at the seals, you look at the first four seals. And you look at those four seals and you see that's things that has been. Amen. And then we look at the sixth seal. Hallelujah. And we see the sixth seal is going to happen. That's the tribulation seal. And we look at the fifth seal. We said that is souls under the altar. That has also been. It's things in the past. But we are not under the sixth seal and the first seal and the second or the fourth seal. We are under the seventh seal. The seventh seal is a now seal. It's what God is doing now. Hallelujah. It's not what he has done, what he's going to do. It's what he's doing right now in our midst. Can we say amen? Amen? When we look at the face of the watch, you can tell time and you can see the face of the watch. But there's a lot of things behind the scene that you know nothing about. But it's ticking perfectly. There's a lot of things behind the scene. And every time people look at the face, they say, oh my, this is a beautiful face. And we can tell the time and we can tell this. But we don't know that there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes. Can we say amen? Amen. I'm trying to just get out of what I want to say, but let's move on a little bit. Can we start with Joseph tonight? And tomorrow we can end up with Esther. But let us start with Joseph tonight. If you will allow me, we look at God's providence. Because we look at Joseph, we call him the dreamer. But he really had just two dreams. The dreamer, but the guy had two dreams. I don't know of any other scriptural dream that Joseph had. But he only had two dreams. And the first dream is he's in the field. And all the other corns are bowing, wheat is bowing down with Joseph. And the second dream is a heavenly dream. The one is earthly, the other one is heavenly. The one is terrestrial, the other one is celestial. There's a mystery from the earthly to the heavenly. From this mortal to immortality. The king only has one thing on his mind, to bring you from here and put you up there. And the tick, the clock is ticking in place. Everything, we are going to rule and reign on the earth. Now back home we have different political parties, and I might just say it here, we have different politicians and everybody's promising, and we have different guys that are saying, we are the first and we were the first, we are the natives, we are this, and it's our land, and I can even prove it's my land too. Sure. So I don't care, they can fight as much as they want to for the land, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Yeah, everybody can grunt geographically and says, we are the first, we are this and we are that. It doesn't matter who's first, my brother and my sister. As long as we know where we come from. Can we say amen? Amen. So everything is ticking accordingly. So here's Joseph. He's in his father's house. He has these two dreams. He sees his brethren bowing before him. And already the father has given Joseph a little coat of many colors. And for me, it's almost like it's an adoption. Because the father made Joseph in charge. Amen. He said to Joseph, go and check on your brothers. Give me a report. Only a mature son could do that. Only a son that's adopted could be a mature son and bring report of the father's business. So Joseph's adoption ceremony was by his father, Jacob. And God says, I actually don't like that coat that you're giving him. and it brought jealousy. But the clock is ticking. Watch now, friends. The wheel is busy turning in the wheel. And so Joseph's brothers, they plot against him. Brother and sister, they decide to, you know the whole story, put him in a pit. They left him there for 3 days. It had to be 3 days. Because on the third day, the Midianites was coming. Because it's got to happen exactly according to the clock. The Midianites, the Ishmaelites must pass that way at that very time so that Joseph could be sold to the Ishmaelites. And Joseph must go down to Egypt. Joseph cannot go down to Ethiopia. Joseph cannot come to America. Joseph has to go to Egypt. The clock is ticking. Everything is happening according to God's order. It's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. But let me tell you something. This great providence, when he makes provision, hallelujah, he makes sure that you are taken care of. No matter where you find yourself in, no matter how deep you go into things, no matter what pit you find yourself into, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Joseph was expecting to be killed. But brother, he heard a voice that said, let's not kill him. Let's sell him rather. Can I go on? The quicker you amen, the quicker I finish. And if you don't amen, I'll keep you. I'm an African. I can keep you for hours. I want to break down this word, this definition of providence. Providence means to provide. Providence is God's activity throughout history in providing for the needs of the human beings, especially those who follow him in faith. It means to provide. It means to care. Providence occurs because God cares about the universe and he cares about everything in it. Now, this is God's nature. God is not just in theoretical. God wants to love and express his nature in word and in deed. That's the nature of God. He wants to express himself. And providence means to realize at certain places in your life, God has been there before. It's an act of God seeing ahead and providing a need. Hallelujah. God could see what was going to happen in Joseph's life. God could see what was going to happen in the message of the hour. I want to stop right there. Every marriage goes through 7 church ages. Every marriage. Every company goes through 7 church ages. Every company goes through 7 church ages. Every church goes through 7 church ages. You must just find out which church age you are under. So God knew exactly, since the prophet would leave the scene, that the bride would go through 7 church ages again. I hope I'm making myself clear. Let me break it down for you a little bit. Let's look at how the message first started out. Now remember, we speak about the wheel in the middle of the wheel. There was first love in the message. Everybody treasured that little spoken word book. Everybody was with the reel to reel. Brother, they were so happy to have this book and that book. And the bride was first love. But then it seemed to be simmering down. Then they went through smyrna, bitterness. It's the wheel. In the middle of the wheel. That's when different doctrines came in. The deeds of the Nicolaitans came in. And bitterness started to come in. And families was ripped apart by doctrines. The message of the hour. I'm talking about our ranks. Let's not preach outside. Let's come back home. Let's not leave the message in doctrine. Let's bring it home. Amen. We're looking at the Pope and we're looking at, amen, Russia, and yet you forget that the Pope is in you. Who's sitting on your throne? Hallelujah. We're looking at Babylon. We're looking at Egypt. But brother and sister, who's controlling you? What church age are you under? Can we say amen? I just want to quickly, can I just stop there for a minute? Then here comes bitterness into the church. The deeds of the Nicolaitans came in with doctrines and it infiltrated the message and people became to be bitter. And the prophet says in the Smyrian church age, it was more human leadership that was prevalent in the Smyrian church age. That's what we saw, personalities coming up. And then we've gone through Pergamos, which is worldliness that crept into the people and people began to be married to the world instead of married to the word. The doctrine of Balaam crept in where people started to add to the word and ate those false doctrines until they became their lives. Because you become what you eat. Whatever you eat turns into blood. It turns into life. Whatever you eat, you become what you eat. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Whatever doctrine there is, there's a life behind that doctrine. If your doctrine is right, why do you fight? And we've seen these doctrines coming right in. I'm showing you that the wheel has been turning. Then we've come to Thyatira. This is a dominating female. This is where they no longer tell you what the prophet says. This is when they tell you what our church says. Are you hearing me? Then we've gone to Sardis. Sardis is where they live by dead names. And they listen to their dead preacher's tapes. I'm showing you the wheel, in the middle of the wheel. We've been coming along, brother, and we're leaving it in the church age book. But those same spirits that was in seven church ages is right here in our midst. They live by dead names. If their pastor dies, they start playing their pastor's tapes. That church will find himself under the Sardis church age. Amen. And they elevate that minister to such a level where he becomes the authority of the church. Then we've come to Philadelphia. They claim originality. I walked with a prophet. I hunted with the prophet. Prophet told me privately, praise God. Prophet told me while I was in the boat, while I, praise God, amen, hallelujah. That brother is in Philadelphian church age. Then finally we are in Laodicea, where the spirit of the people's rights consume them. And they will do whatever they want to do and you can't tell the people anymore. Because the spirit of the people's rights has consumed the people. Brother, they go beyond boundaries. They go beyond Christian principles. Holy decency, just make they won't even fulfill their holy decency just to make an extra buck. Wow. They'll miss services. Yeah. And they'll blame it on lockdown. Come, I tell you something. I told the church back home, lockdown just revealed to me who you are. That's all. Whatever's in you is going to come out. And lockdown proved what is in you. I had people that would tell me, Brother Brian, we can't wait for the church doors to be opened. Praise God. I can't wait. And when the church doors open, they're not back. I think you probably had the same. Brother, I can't wait. Praise the Lord. We with you. We love you. The same ones that says we with you and we love you, they never come back. That's why I don't like people to tell me, brother, we stand with you. We are in the ministry. We love the ministry. Brother, we are behind you. Brother, watch. That man is under a church age. He's not under an eternal church age. He's not come out of Laodicea. He's not under the bright age. He's walking in some bitterness. Some man failed him somewhere. It's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Lockdown is nothing new to me. Solomon placed Shemai under lockdown and he proved what lockdown did to him. God placed Adam under lockdown and then the serpent came in. Adam went somewhere to go and do his things and then the serpent came in. Lockdown reveals what is in you. Can we say amen? Can I go on just a few minutes? I'm still on the wheel. I'm trying to get off the wheel. On the other side, God has sent us, instead of looking at all these seven spirits in the framework of our message. message. Let's look on the other side. We've received the Spirit in a sevenfold glory with a seven-course meal menu to give the believer power to overcome these spirits. Hallelujah. God gave us overcoming power. We have the mystery of change. These spirits will not get a hold of you. Bitterness will not jump on you. Hallelujah. You know why? You've received the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm looking at the brothers. I'm looking at what they've preached. And I'm thinking about the burden of change. It's the wheel in the middle of the wheel that brings the burden of change. It's the wheel in the middle of the wheel that's going to take you back to the Garden of Eden. It's the wheel in the middle of the wheel that's going to show if you are the general article or not. The wheel in the middle of the wheel is revealing what is in the hearts of the people. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. Because this is the hour, brother and sister, where we have to see that we are entering right on the threshold. Things are coming to an end. Are you with me? Let's look at this quickly for a few minutes. And I'll find a place to close. Here's Abraham. And God is telling Abraham, Abraham, take your son. Go and sacrifice him up. And Abraham takes his son. He takes the wood. He takes the fire and he goes. And Abram, and as they're walking, the son Isaac says, Dad, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the sacrifice? But Abram, because he knew providence, he knew how the wheel turns. He didn't walk and question God, because God don't reveal everything as you're going along the way. There's certain things that belongs to us. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Amen. There's certain things that belongs to us. But there's secret things that belongs to God. If God had to tell us when the rapture would take place, you think I'd be here tonight preaching? You think I'd be here? Brother, I'd be running around. I'll be enjoying Tucson until I see another son. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll be here 5 minutes before the rapture. I'll be here 5 minutes before the rapture, and I'll make sure that I repent 5 minutes. And I'll sing the goodness of God. But because that secret belongs to God, I've got to live under expectation. I've got to live as though the rapture is going to take place in the next 5 minutes. Is that right? Yes, we'll make our mistakes, but it's the wheel turning. It's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Remember, the wheel is not going backwards. It's going forward. Amen. Can we say amen? So when Abram says the Lord will provide, Abram knew that God already provided. He told the two youngsters, stay right here. Let's go up. My son and I, we will return. That was faith speaking. We shall return. Is that right? They got onto Mount Moriah and Abram was about to sacrifice his son. And a voice came from heaven. Abraham, stay your hand. Now I know you love me. I asked myself, didn't God really love, or didn't Abraham love God, or God love him? God showed him the seven seals. He did. He showed Abram what was going to happen with Sodom and Gomorrah. Judgment. Gave Abram a body change. Gave Sarah a body change. He said to Abram, shall I hide anything from Abraham? Come on. He said all those things to Abram. That's the seals. Shall I hide anything from you, Abram? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Two angels is going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. You are going to walk on the ashes of the wicked. He revealed all things to Abram. And yet God says, now I know. Friends, it doesn't matter, even if you understand the seals and you understand the seven church ages, there's a supernatural element that remains despite the revelation. People say, I can understand, I know this is that, God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet is no ticket that you're going to heaven. Imagine you go to heaven and say, I know Brother Branham. I was in Branham Tabernacle. Brother Branham dedicated me, praise God, he ordained me, and I was the first and I was the last. Does it really matter who's first? Who's last? That doesn't matter. To know him is life. Is that right? And life eternal. Can we say praise the Lord? Let me hurry up. Here's Abraham. So Abraham the voice says, stay your hand. Don't sacrifice your voice. I have already provided. When Abraham looked, he saw a ram caught in the thicket. Is that right? That was a creative ram. Yes, Brother Benham said it. He says there was no place, amen, for a ram to come there. It was far away from civilization. So God, that ram had no mother, no father. That was the creative ram whose head was stuck in the thicket. Amen. Just like Christ would be stuck with thorns on his head. And he would say, Lord, let this cup pass me. Lord, let me get out of this. But it is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. The wheel was turning. Nevertheless, let thy will be done and not my will be done. Jesus tried to get out of it, but he had to go through it. Friends, you cannot take away your trials. You cannot take away your suffering. You're going to have to go through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to have to go because suffering is part of the journey. Amen. You cannot have character without suffering. Character is not a gift. It's a victory. It is part of the journey. If you want to reign with him, you'll have to suffer with him too. So God will put you in a pressing situation. You know why? Because he wants to bring the best out of you. So he said to Abram, now I know you love me. Capstone. What is the capstone? Love. Now I know you love me. Poof. He kept the pyramid of Abram's life. He never kept it when he revealed the secrets. He never kept it when he did this. But when Abram gave his only son, he said, Abram, you are in the wheel, in the middle of the wheel. All things are working out accordingly. I want to read Genesis 22:14. And Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. The Lord seen to it. The Lord has seen to it. That Abram have a sacrifice. God sees what is going ahead. You want to tell me God is caught by surprise by all these different things that's happening in our ranks? Friends, it's all ticking accordingly. Can we say amen? I'm going to leave a lot of things out here. So we're here with Joseph. And I'm hurrying up. I'm a little bit all over the place. Here's Joseph. God was going to express his care to him, his provision to Joseph. And so Father gives him a coat of many colors. Joseph goes to his brethren. The brethren put him in a pit. The Midianites comes. The third day, they sell Joseph. Remember, Joseph is a perfect type of Christ. Is that right? Hallelujah. So his brothers hate. So God had to bring out hatred to prove who Joseph is. That's the wheel. In the middle of the wheel. Now, we've never received prayer requests that says, brother priest, pray that I have the love of God. Lord, let me love you more. He's going to give you hate. How many are going to pray for trials? Please pray for me. I need a trial tomorrow. Is there anybody that needs a trial? You never ask for trials. God knows you're not going to ask for it. So he's giving it to you anyhow. Because he knows what to bring out of you. He knows your bloodline. He knows your family tree. He knows your anger. He knows your resentment. He knows your suffering. He knows your depression. He knows what the family is. He knows everything about you. And so he knows how to bring the best out of us. So we had no choice. I mean, think of it. You could have been Pharaoh. So you never asked, Lord, I want to be Pharaoh. You never had part and said, Lord, I want to be this. It wasn't by hand raising. It was by predestination. Is that right? Now I want you to see something here quickly as we go on. So the boys take the coat of Joseph. They dip it in blood. And they take the blood, the coat that's dipped with blood. They take it right back to the father again. And the father lifts up the coat. And when he looks at the coat that was dipped in blood, the guilty brothers are standing on the other side. But the coat stands between them and the brothers. We were guilty. But Joseph's coat went back to the father. If it wasn't for the blood, the father, being a prophet, could have destroyed his sons. But God don't reveal everything to his children. Because the wheel was turning in the middle of the wheel. Can I go on quickly? You and I were guilty, brother and sister. Guilty as charged. Is that right? But because of the blood, the bloody lamb slain before the foundation of the world, we stand justified tonight. Justification is just as though you've never done it in the first place. So Joseph is on his way. He gets sold to the Ishmaelites. He goes to the market. If the father knew where Joseph was, he would go on and purchase his son right back again. But God didn't reveal to Jacob where his son was. Because the wheel was turning in the middle of the wheels. Remember, God sees there's a famine coming. Jacob can't see the famine coming. Hey man, God is even looking and saying, if I don't preserve the life of this, the house of Jacob, then all of Israel would be destroyed. They will be annihilated by the famine. So God could see the famine. God could see that the famine was going to destroy that house of Jacob. But God sent Joseph before his brother to preserve life. Is that right? Now it seemed like, now the scripture tells me in Psalms 105, it says, can we read it quickly? 16 verses 17. Let's just read it quickly for a few minutes. Psalms 105, 16 verses 17. The Bible says in Psalms 105, could you bring it up for me, brothers? Psalms 105, verses 16. Give me a few minutes. I won't keep it too long tonight. Psalms 105:16. Moreover, he called for a what? A famine upon the land. And he broke the whole staff of bread. Verses 17. And he sent a man before them. Now, it didn't look like that. God sending a man before them. But according to me, it was trouble in a house. It was hatred in that house. But that's how providence works. He doesn't tell you how he's going to do it. He just shows you what is going to be at the end. But he doesn't tell you what's the process going to be. He doesn't tell you about the stuff in between. He tells you about the foundation. He tells you about the capstone. But he never tells you about the filler in. He never tells you about the Ishmaelites. He never tells you what's going to happen to you. He didn't tell you that you're going to prison. Right now, we're sitting with the brother that was sent to prison, brother Doug, for nothing. Wrong place, wrong time. What you call this profile? Profiling, wrong profile. When you profile a black brother, wrong place, wrong time. He was selling, collecting his money for fish. And when he got there, there was a house breaking, house robbery. And he was there at the wrong time. They locked the brother up because he was a black man. And I went to the judge, and the judge called me in to come and speak. I said, Judge, this man has been in my church for 12 years. I said, I'm pastoring for 19 years. This man has never missed a prayer meeting, nothing whatsoever. The judge says, I don't care if he's been in a prayer meeting or whatever. He was on the scene. Did he ask for it? It's the wheel. After a few months, the brother could hardly speak English. He was he's not French. He's Portuguese because he's from Angola. So he calls me out of prison. He says to me, Brother Brian, I'm beginning to preach inside. Come on now. That's the wheel. In the middle of the wheel. God would even take you to prison to go preach the gospel. Something that you've never done. But the wheel is turning in the middle of the wheel. I said, brother, we can't wait for you to come out to preach in English. If God had to send you to prison, I had to laugh and make a joke of it, but it's not really a joke. But it's the wheel. You never asked for it. You never asked for that child. You never asked for that son. You never asked for that. God made it so that you have it. A couple of years ago, the Lord sent me to the States, brother Doug. I preached in a meeting and a sister came and I preached on the stuff in between. And a sister said then, I said, sister, I didn't even know. I said, that God can take away your son. She just buried her baby last week. 3-year-old boy. That's the stuff in between. But that sermon helped her to see that stuff in between that you have to go through. You might not understand it now because God keeps it secret. But he'll tell you in the sweet by and by. Hallelujah. Can you imagine Joseph going to prison for a thing that he's never done? That woman was supposed to go to prison. You and I were supposed to go to prison. Hallelujah. But our Joseph, the Lord Jesus, he conquered hell, death, and the grave so that you and I don't have to go there. Hallelujah. So he ends up in prison. There must be a baker and a butler. There must be two thieves on the cross. All things work together for good. Because the wheel in the wheel is turning. And I'm coming to something. It's the wheel in the middle of the wheel turning. Because Joseph must preserve life. Joseph needs to come to the right hand of the king. And then obviously we know the story. There's a dream and so forth. Hallelujah. And Joseph interprets the dream. He ends up in the kingdom. Amen. And yeah, his brothers are coming to him. And I want you to see how that God deals with us just like Joseph dealt with his brothers. It might look cruel the way he dealt with them. They come to him and they want to buy. They've come to this great kingdom with buildings and different things. And they come into this kingdom and they want to just buy corn and go home. And Joseph starts looking at them, but they don't recognize Joseph. We came in here not knowing God. We came here with our back turned towards God. Hallelujah. Just like Joseph's brothers. Remember, Joseph is a type of Christ. So these brothers come and they want to buy, and Joseph looks at them and Joseph says, cast them into prison, they spies. It's the wheel turning. Yeah. Now, it looks like Joseph don't love his brothers, but he does. Yeah. He wants to give them a new place. Amen. He wants to give them Goshen, but he cannot give them Goshen. He needs to prepare them for Goshen. Wow. He wants to reveal himself, but he can't reveal himself. So he has to let them go through all these things so that he can reveal himself to them. There's a burden in Joseph to reveal himself. But he can't. He speaks via interpreter. Hallelujah. That's how God dealt with us. He used a prophet messenger to speak to us. Hallelujah. So watch this thing. So Joseph, and I felt these brothers, they lacked a little bit of spiritual discernment. Because Joseph, after 3 days, took them out of prison, sent them away, gave them all the corn, put their money right back into their sacks, go back. But they lack spiritual discernment. They should have said, but if we were really guilty, why is he doing all these things? And yet it was the wheel in the middle. But he keeps one back, and they go back. And the father says, no, I've lost one son, Joseph. And I'd like to read that quickly because I want to just get a place where we can close. I've got one or two testimonies I'd like to share with you, how God works. Genesis 42 and verses 36, quickly. Genesis 42 and verses 36. Hallelujah. Oh, here we go. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children? Joseph is not. Simeon is not. And you will take Benjamin away. All these things is against me. Now, brother and sister, it would look like Jacob is right, but now that we are standing on the other side, nothing was against Jacob. So I want to tell you, nothing is against you. The sister next to you is not against you. The brother in front of you is not against you. The pastor is not against you. Hallelujah. The message is not against you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the way you look at it. Sometimes we get so trapped, but it's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. The wheels are turning and we get trapped. They don't like me. Did you see sister so-and-so didn't greet me in church? She just walked this way. You don't even know if a sister's got... The brother's got his own stress. He just quickly looked the other way. And brother, people leave church for petty things. So I say, let the petty leave. It's not my church, I can say it. If it wasn't my church, I'd be very careful to say. But I can say, let the petty leave. We don't want petty people. We want born, rugged Christians. We're not here for a handshake, brother. We are looking at the wheel turning in the wheel. We see the coming of the Lord. We see the seventh seal unfolding. We see the mighty God unveiled before our very eyes. Jacob said, everything is against me. It looks like it. It looks like everything is against us. We look at how things are going and we look at it. Everything is against it. But none of these things was against him. Everything was working together. Amen. It's the watch. It's not what you see on the front side of the watch. It's those gears. Those gears are ticking at the back. And the one gear needs the other gear. Potiphar had to be there. The Midianites had to be there. Everything had to be in place. The famine had to be there. Sometimes you're going to go through a drought. Sometimes, amen, you are in a different stage of your life. But it's the gear. Everything working for good. Amen. It's turned already. We know the outcome. You are bound for glory. You are bound to go to heaven. There's nothing that the devil can do. You can't backslide. Even if I give you permission to go backslide for a week and come back next week and repent, you won't backslide. There's nothing in you to backslide. Because God wound it once. It's set right for brother. I've seen Brother Doug, people leave me. They left my church and they come after 10 years right back again. I'm a pastor now for almost 20 years and I've seen people leave. And they'll make 360 degree turns. They come right back again. You ask them, say, now what, where, why? They can't even understand why they left in the first place. They can't even remember. If you run away from trouble, you'll run into trouble. If you run away from death, you'll run into death. Ruth, Naomi, ran away from Bethlehem, Judah. She ran right into death again. So no matter where you go, you must pass your test. Otherwise, God will rave up the same problem until you pass the test. And I've seen people don't pass their tests. They leave this church, you go to the next church, God raises up that problem again. Because the clock is ticking. All things are working for good. Can we say amen? Now let's look at it quickly. Here's Jacob. He says, everything is against me. And there was really nothing against him. God was working all things for the good. They come right back. Joseph says, God kept me to preserve life. That was the whole mystery behind it. Can we say amen? Amen? God will do things, brother and sister, that you won't even understand. Brother Doug, I'll carry on tomorrow a little bit with these things. But I want to say this quickly, just two testimonies, just before we, how God works. And God will give you a test and you have to pass those tests. Sometimes it will take the skin off your face, but you have to pass those tests. Sometimes you'll have to press a little harder, but you're going to come out on the other side. It was a sister, just a sister in our church. She was expecting. And she said to her husband, "Honey, I don't feel life anymore. Baby's gone." He said, "How do you know?" She says, "As a mother, I know the baby's gone. I don't feel life in me kicking whatsoever." He said, "Let's go to hospital. If that's the case, let's go to the hospital." She says, "No, I'm not going to hospital. Tomorrow's church. I'm going to church." He says, "You can't walk with a dead child in you for a couple of days. Your bloodstream will be affected if you keep something dead in you. And I might lose you too." She says, "I'm going to church tomorrow." She slept that night. She cried. She prayed. She cried. She prayed. The next morning she woke up, finished for church. She dressed. She didn't tell anybody. Just the husband knew. They came to church, Brother Freddie. And they came to church. Church doors opened up. Songs were sung. She lifted up her hands. She was in need. Amen. She had a dead situation in her. She had something dying, but she didn't have dead faith. There's a difference. Some people have dead faith. They're expecting, but they have dead faith. You can't get anything if you have dead faith. She had a dead situation, but she wasn't going to allow the dead situation to affect her faith. So she came to church. We sang songs. We started rejoicing, singing hallelujah, praise God. She sat right at the back. And I came up to preach. And while I was preaching, right towards the end, she said the whole service through. She said, "Lord, you know why I'm here. And if that's the case, Lord, let Brother Brian say something before I go to the hospital. And if I need to accept it, I'll accept it. But Lord, I'm not accepting this." She sat at the back, and while I was preaching, I said, "Sister, I give you back your son." Under the inspiration. You've got to anoint your faith. She said immediately, when the word was saying, "I give back your son," immediately that boy kicked for life. Brother and sister, she gave birth to Joshua. She named his name Joshua. And Joshua is a warrior in church today. So I'm saying whatever you have need of this evening is in the word. Amen. Don't have dead faith and expect things, but believe and trust God for all things. The wheel is but eternal. The wheel wants to give you and provide for you. He's the great providence. He's the great I am. But you have to anoint your faith. There was one brother, and I don't know if brother Juan will know this, and Brother Shiloh will you know this testimony. But there's a brother, I think it was in Uganda or somewhere. But I was with some brothers, and they told me this testimony. And they said to me, "Brother Brian, you know, there was this brother that went to the army. And he got there, and being a Christian and being a believer, he was mocked. And it was one of those countries where Christians, they disregard Christians. In Africa, you find different religious groups, and they can almost wipe out a Christian village. So this brother went to the army, and when he got there, they said to the brother, "What did you come here to do?" He says, "No, I came to serve my nation and so forth, blah, blah, blah. Everything is well." So the other guy said, let's with the captain, "Let's kind of mock this guy and pull a few strings on him and just have a wonderful time with this guy here. He's a Christian and what have you." Friends, the devil will love to mock us. If he can do that, he'll try to mock you at any point. So the brother, they said to him, the next morning he woke up, they said to him, "Listen here, could you take these keys and go fetch that truck and drive that truck right on the other side and bring it for us over here?" Knowing that the brother don't have a driver's license. He can't even drive to begin with. He comes from the village. And being there, he didn't want to show that he's a little sissy, you know, that can't drive. He took the keys. He went to the truck. He sat in the truck. He said a prayer. He said, "Lord, you are the wheel in the middle of the wheel." He said, "Lord, you know I can't drive, but I need to drive this truck to prove to these men that I'm a real African man. He took the keys, put it in the ignition. He started the truck. He took the truck. He was driving. He was driving, driving the truck. And he pulled the truck right on where they asked him to park the truck. He parked the truck, got out of the truck. And when he looked, Brother Doug, the captain with all the brothers, all the guys in the army, the soldiers, they were all crying. He says, guys, why are you crying? You asked me to park the truck. Here's the key. Why are you crying? Why are you crying? They said, yes, we know you can't drive and we mocked you and you drove. It's a wonderful thing. They said, no, we're not crying for that. We're not crying because you can drive. But come, we show you why we drive. Why are we crying? They went to the truck, Brother Duck. They opened up the bonnet. There was no engine in there. There was no engine in there. You're talking about the wheel in the middle of the wheel that makes provision when there even has no engine, there's no power, there's nothing. When the devil tries to mock you, my God will make a way when there seems to be no way. In your famine, in your distress, in your weakness, my God is able. Hallelujah. Regardless of what you are going through, my God is a great provider. He is what he said he is. He is the great I am. He is the lily of the valley. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the great Jehovah. He's the great advocate. He's the great creator. So let the devil have his day. It's going to be our time. It's going to be a time for... We can't wait for the third pool. Now is third pool. Hallelujah. Musicians, come up. Let me say this, brother and sister. Many times we leave for the third pool. We're waiting for it to happen. I don't read in the message where the third pool had to start from 1963. From 1963, that's the third pool. I know the opening of the word. Don't get me wrong, ministers. Don't get me wrong, preachers. I know that part. But I'm talking about spoken word power. It never started in 1963. I mean, little fishy, I give you back your life. It was way before 1963. Sister Hattie Wright, I give you your children. It was way before 1963. Friends, third pool doesn't spoken word power. It has no time frame on it. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed, it must be removed. Hallelujah. The word is in your mouth. You see, what the devil has done is he's put a scarecrow on the very message of the hour. When we say seven thunders, then people look at it. Are you from a thunder camp? Which camp are you? The seven thunders is the bride's revival. But when the devil puts a scarecrow there, that means something good is around there. Amen. So he's put a scarecrow on the third pole. And he's telling us, no, it's only for the future. Friends, it's not for the future. Now is the time. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. Now is the time. Come, I tell you something. I just read just in the week, Brother Doug, and I'm closing. Just play something, sister. Otherwise, I need to get away. Brother Mim says, one of the most outstanding healings. He said, well, this man coming to the meetings. He says, and as he was coming to the meetings, he kept on asking the deacons, ask Brother Benham to come to hospital to come and help my son, raise my son from the dead. Brother Benham says, we can't come. You know, there's a policy. We don't go to hospitals. Bring him from the hospital to the meetings. Brother Benham says, the man wouldn't take no for an answer. Friends, don't take no for an answer. Amen. You don't take no for an answer. He came back the second night. He came back the third night. Eventually, Brother Benham says, I'll come to the hospital. Brother Benham says, he walked into the hospital. They said to Brother Benham, you cannot go in there. He said, why not? He says, only a priest can go in. A Catholic priest can go in here. Brother Benham says, what's the difference between me and a Catholic priest? He says, you're married. He's not married. Because if you go home, you're going to take that disease and you're going to pack it to your children. Brother Bam says, well, if that's the case, give me a paper. Let me sign something. Let me say that if I die, I die. But I will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We heard last night the inspired word of the Almighty God. Watch. Brother Bam says, they said eventually they put him in an outfit that looks like the Ku Klux Klan. He said they dressed him and Brother Benham went in there. He says he came to the bed and this boy could hardly breathe. He says he had a respiratory disease. Couldn't breathe. On his last, Brother Benham says he looked at the boy. He says, and mom and dad was kneeling and they started praying. They said to Brother Benham, Brother Benham, you're here now. Pray for this boy. Brother Benham says he prayed. He says that when he finished prayed, mom and dad got up. And he started rejoicing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said he looked at the boy. There was no change. But mom and dad was rejoicing as though the boy is healed. Friends, the wheel was turning in the wheel. You might not see it the first time, but God is busy turning the wheel. You've got to rejoice. You must count it as though it's already done. Hallelujah. Brother Bam says, he asked them, now, what's wrong? He says, and all of a sudden, in another place, he says, I heard a voice saying, he shall be healed. Brother Bam says, he turned to the parents, he says, did you hear that? They weren't in the message. He says, and this was an old man and an old sister. You could see they had this child in their old age. It was like Abraham and Sarah. He says, did you hear that? Father said, you bet we heard that, Brother Branham. Friends, I want to ask you, did you hear that? Did you hear your name being called tonight? Did you hear that you are in the wheel, in the middle of the wheel? Did you hear that you are attached, you are tied to the tie post? Did you hear that God will never lose you? Did you hear that God will never forsake you? He said, I'll be in you, even with you, right until the end of time. Oh, glory to the Most High God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. He's wonderful tonight. He can answer all prayers because his providence, he sees in the future. And he's already made provision for this meeting. Nothing will run short. He's already made a plan. He's got it all under control. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. His perfect reassurance. Wait on me. He's got it all. He's got it all. Everybody, let's raise our hands and our voices tonight. He's got it all. He's got it all. He's got it all. Yes. He's got it all. In control. Oh, he's put that reassurance. Just way down in my soul. Got it all. He's got it all. I put my life in his hands altogether tonight. Hallelujah. I put my life in his hands tonight. I put my life in his hands. So every road I walk down, I'm sure it's in his. I put my life in his hands tonight. Hallelujah. I put my life in his hands. Oh, Jesus, I put my life in his hands. Oh, so every road I walk out, I'm sure it is blessed. I put my life.